Do you want to tell us the plot of Shiva Baby? What is Shiva Baby?
You don't even know what Shiva Baby is?
No. And Yarden asked me, and I was like, I actually don't.
And you call yourself a queer Jew who is into media, and you don't know what Shiva Baby is.
So which part is being taken away from me?
All of it.
I can't be queer anymore. Oh, I'm going to be...
Or Jewish.
So sad.
Or Jewish, or a pop culture maven.
Oh, no.
None of it. You get none of it.
Aww.
Shiva Baby is a movie, the feature film debut of Emma Seligman, who's an up-and-coming Jewish director. Very, very cool. And it's about a girl who goes to a funeral, like a Shiva house of someone in her community that she, like, knew. Like an old guy or something. And then her parents are there. Like, everyone she knows is there. Her ex-girlfriend is there. And her sugar daddy's there.
Oh.
And so is her sugar daddy's wife. Who obviously doesn't know, and so it's just like this apex of like intense Jewish anxiety.
Whoa.
Basically a horror movie, but also like funny. And it has Diana Agron in it, and so I'm contractually obligated
to stan it,
to enjoy anything that she is in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like this morning, my teacher sees my t-shirt, which says Shiva Baby, and it's got like the cast, like the credits all on the back. And she's like, what is Shiva Baby? And so I explain the premise of the movie, and she goes, huh.
What's a sugar daddy?
And then she's like, I didn't say, I just said her boyfriend's there and her boyfriend's wife. And then she's like, huh, but like, why Shiva Baby? Like, what's the name? And I was like, oh, well, have you heard of a sugar baby? She was like, no. And then I had to explain, like, this very from like Hush of the Woman. I had to like explain it to her.
She had never heard of a sugar daddy?
Nope. She was like, I'm learning so much and I feel so old. And I was like, yes, this interaction has also aged me several years.
Wow.
But yeah.
It is one of the great joys of my life to explain things to Pardes teachers. If I'm being perfectly honest, like having the opportunity to tell someone what a sugar daddy is.
I explained Twilight to Howard once.
Yeah.
That was hilarious and also terrifying.
Yeah. Howard talked about an orgy today in class.
Well, I love that for you.
Not one that he had been to or participated in.
Shame.
One that's in the Torah, he thinks.
Nice. Which one?
Right before, like at the end of the description of the golden calf, like where they've built it, and then Aaron like builds a mizbeach, and he's like, okay, now come back tomorrow and we'll have like a chag Hashem. Or he says chag, whatever. It's unclear if he means like the big guy or like this god that they're maybe trying to worship via the golden calf. And then at the end it says, and then they like ate and drank and litzachek.
Oh, they tzacheked it.
Yeah. And so then, and I knew all of the other places, not all of the other places, but a bunch of the other places where that's mentioned because of this podcast.
Nice. Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew.
Nice.
Yeah.
We love that for you.
Thank you. Howard was like, how do you know all this? And I was like, oh my God. Have you heard that I'm in a podcast?
Cool. So do you want to tell us your name and your pop culture moment for the week?
Yeah. I'm Valerie. And my pop culture moment this week, I think, is just scamming. Who's the like Instagram Joanne the Scammer?
Yeah.
An icon who I think predicted Anna Delvey and the Tinder swindler and
yes.
Oh my God. No, actually my pop culture moment is that Yarden, you know, and is that your phone that's vibrating, Shoshana?
No.
After it is Shoshana's phone. She's lying to you, Eli.
Eli just very slowly checked his phone.
Because Shoshana's straight up lying.
It wasn't me.
Oh, you have your little checklist over there.
I do.
Okay. Anyway, my real pop culture moment is that when watching the Anna Delvey Inventing Anna thing, that Yarden was like, what's Fyre Festival?
Oh my God.
And I was like, and then once we talked about it, she like remembered it, but then she went back and like watched. I was like, there were also two competing documentaries that came out at the same time.
How did she? Oh my God. Okay.
It was so funny. And so then she's like, she came out yesterday and she was like, so I watched the Fyre Festival documentary. I was like, on Netflix or HBO? It's very important.
Yeah.
On Netflix is the answer. Anyway, I was just, and now she's been making references to it, like we ate something, and I was like, I don't remember what we talked about, but she was like, better than the food they had at Fyre Festival.
Oh my God,
and I was like,
so funny.
Bro, that's like such a dated.
Yeah. Well, no, but like you say that, but at the same time, like, I understand why inventing like the Anna Delvey story, mm-hmm. like the show references Fyre Festival because it's set in like 2017 and these are characters who are like socialites.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Father also made a Fyre Festival joke like last week and I was like, that's not funny.
Wait, like, who did?
How I Met Your Father.
Oh.
Weird. It's like weirdly back as like I feel like it's too, like Fyre Festival is both like too far removed from public like psyche.
Yeah.
And also like not far removed enough. It's like in this weird spot where it's not yet like a really funny callback.
Right.
But it's also not like a current happening. I'm like, why do you need to make a joke about this?
Right, it's also like a weird, like kind of a humanitarian crisis. Like it's like funny, yeah. Because like because you feel bad for people that like,
yeah.
got swindled, but like also that they were like on this island like without places to stay and like with like horrible food and yeah. all of those things. I just like feel like I'm like, it's only funny if you're like punching up. Like you can't like right. make fun of the people that like went to Fyre Festival because like they bought into something, like they believed someone and then it turned out to be BS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay. My name's Shoshana. I don't think I have a pop culture moment. I had one and I forgot it.
Well, I'm looking at a little checklist
in front
of you.
I don't like any of those ones.
Do you want to try a couple out and then we can cut out?
I don't want to do that, Mallory.
You don't want to have any pop culture moment?
No,
that's okay.
I had just thought of one and then I forgot it again.
Oh, because I was talking.
Yeah. It's your fault. It's not my fault. My pop culture moment. You know, my pop culture moment is the fact that Hilary Duff named her daughter Banks. And then, like, her cutesy nickname for Banks is Banksy. And I laugh every time I see it because I'm like, that's just an enigmatic artist. Yeah. Why did you nickname, like, you know, like the Twilight energy of like, you nicknamed my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster? It's like, you nicknamed your own daughter after like the world's most famous anonymous artist, you freaking weirdo. Like, I don't know. I just find it so funny. Who names their baby daughter Banksy? Great or Banks question. In general, but then Banksy is the nickname.
I was thinking about that. Because someone was telling me that their friend had a baby and named it River. And I was like, that's weird. And then I realized we have a friend named Mayan.
Yeah. The coolest person I ever met was a hostess on El Al.
A hostess.
On El Al.
Oh, okay.
A flight attendant. And her name was Mayan Aviv. And I was like, bro, your name is Spring. Like...
Nice.
Spring.
And then your third cocktail in, you were like, spring, bring me another.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah,
you know, that's actually Bruce Springsteen's nickname for his daughter.
Spring?
I'm making it up.
Oh, I know. I had figured that. Thank you, Valerie. I had figured that one out. Goddamn. Dude, I'm so excited. We go to America in like 2 weeks, 10 days-ish.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for Target.
Yeah.
But, like, I was, like, a bit pissy that we were going to America because I'm like, oh, we're missing Purim in Jerusalem and, like, with all of our friends and all that stuff. And then, like, I looked up, like, pulled up the area where I'm supposed to be staying and it's, like, within a 5-10 minute walk, it's, like, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's,
hell yeah.
Target. And I'm like, never mind.
Yeah. I'm really
I'm
thrilled.
Happy now. I promise. I'm happy now. I'll never complain again.
Yeah.
That's not true.
I agree. There are things. Or, like, I got these new glasses.
I know, we already told you look nice.
But the...
Stop fishing for compliments, Valerie. We already gave them to you.
The podcast didn't hear it. But then I was like, also, I just started like fantasizing about, you know, the website Zenny's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was showing you. They have like really cheap glasses. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited to like order things online and they'll come right to the house that I'm staying at. And
I'm really excited.
I guess that's what I could do is I could order sweatpants and they could be there when I get there.
Crazy.
Because that's what I'm like, I'm not going to, what am I going to wear? I don't have like appropriate, what I'm going to wear my Hanukkah pajama pants.
Yes.
Around their house.
Bro, you could just
like a fool.
Wear like outside pants until you get into your room.
How miserable.
Okay. Like, I'd rather die than wear outside pants inside.
Yeah. Sorry. Is the first thing you do when you come home not change into sweatpants?
No, not anymore. Because I realize if I get into like inside clothes, then like I immediately shut off for the day and like cannot fulfill any task. Same like if I take off my shoes before I make dinner, I won't make dinner. And I only figured that out because of like an ADHD TikTok I saw where it's like shoes on equals you are ready to do things. And I was like, shoes on means I'm ready to do things. And that changed my whole thing. Like if I take my shoes off, I literally just am done.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't, so my brain is messed up.
Apartment.
Like until a certain point, like if I put on shoes, that means like, you know, you got direction. Like I'm going to stay, I can stand in the kitchen now, but like as soon as I take my shoes off, I feel directionless. Like I can sit at my computer for hours and just do anything. But like shoes on means ready to go. Got places to be. And that place is the kitchen.
I think you should go to therapy.
I also think I probably should.
Like, I say it in the most loving way possible. Like, remember when I said, are you sure that hat is going to fit your head? And you got really offended.
It fit my head.
It was a little tight. She said it was a little
tight.
It wasn't. It is a little tight. It continues to be a little tight. I don't know why you're lying to the people.
It's good. It's a good hat. I also got another hat. I got a hat yesterday. The shirt came with a Shiver Baby hat.
Oh, I saw.
But I couldn't wear them at the same time because that's just embarrassing.
So lame.
Yeah.
So really went like full branded today. You got Shiver Baby, you have Technolite, and you have a Schmaltz beanie.
Yeah, I don't know who Technolite is. I received this from a family friend, so I don't know.
Inspired by light.
I assume it's a tech company. But Schmaltz, the love of my life, Schmaltz. Yes, I wear their beanie all the time now.
Oh, it's a lighting store.
Cool. Good to know I'm representing them. Cool. Okay. Vayakel in a nutshell. Chabad.org/nutshell/Vayakel. Moshe gathers the people. First things first, he reiterates Shabbat. So we have again this keeping Shabbat. He tells them all these things about the Mishkan. The people give all of the materials they need and they do it in abundance. Like they give a lot of it to the point that Moshe is like, guys, we have enough. It's fine. Like, stop bringing me stuff. And then a team, Chabad.org describes them, a team of wise-hearted artisans, which I think, if I see a movie about the Mishkan, I need the wise-hearted artisans to be the main characters.
Wise-hearted?
Yeah.
What does it mean to be wise-hearted?
You are wise in your heart.
No, thank you so much for that definition. Wow.
But the team of wise-hearted artisans make the Mishkan.
That's literally, you can't say those words.
Wise-hearted artisans. Wise-hearted artisans. Wise-hearted artisans.
Wise-hearted artisans.
Wise-hearted artisans. The Raja.
Wise-hearted artisans. Uncle James.
Uncle James? No, I was.
Wise-hearted artisans?
Josh Satie's Muse and Uncle James.
Uncle James.
Anyway. So the wise-hearted artisans make the Mishkan, make all of its furnishings and stuff, make the roofs, the panels, the parochet, like the veil between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and like the screens. They make the Aron Kodesh, the table, the menorah, the altar, the inside altar, and like all of the incense for it, the outside altar, and then all of the hangings and stuff for the outside that make the basin, and that's about it. It's just like a huge we've spent like the past few parashiyot like with God describing to us,
his dream house.
Yeah.
His Barbie dream house.
Yeah, God's Barbie dream house. And this is sort of like the combination of that, of like this, it's now happening. We have the stuff to make it with. We're taught to keep Shabbos one more time, and now we just get to building.
Yeah.
And that's the parsha.
I just want to say that Ish Hacham Lev is, it's pshat. It literally says wise-hearted.
Yeah.
Men. All wise.
I don't know why you doubted me or Chabad.org/nutshell/Vayakel.
I know my tabernacle, okay? I can't wait until we're done talking about the tabernacle.
We're never
the Mishkan.
Because we have a tabernacle in our hearts. Bilva vi Mishkan Evne.
You should, when you go to the doctor, you should ask them to check out that tabernacle. The tabernacle. I don't think you're supposed to have that.
What do you know? That's my favorite Tish song, is Bilvavi. It's a metaphor, Valerie. Do I have to explain metaphors to you on a public forum?
No.
Okay, good. So what movie are we doing?
So we paired this with the 2010 classic Toy Story 3, sequel to Toy Story 2, which was a sequel to Toy Story 1. Yes. Well, just Toy Story.
And it's also the precursor to Toy Story 4.
Precursor to, yeah. Prequel to Toy Story 4.
I don't think it's a prequel, because I'm pretty sure a prequel is a film made after a film. Like, if Toy Story 4 was made first, it would be a prequel, but it's not, because it has to be set before the thing that was made first, if that makes sense.
I'm just, so we're all clear on the order. It goes Toy Story.
Yeah.
Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
And then Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Do I have that right?
Yeah, but I would also like to put it, Eli's texted us. We got to the part.
17 minutes.
I love this game.
A record.
I want to, like, Toy Story 1 and 2 are made, like, quite close together. Mm-hmm. Then a huge gap. And then Toy Story 3. And then another quite small gap. And then Toy Story 4.
Well, because they were like...
Toy Story 3 did really well, so we need to make another one.
Well, yeah, it earned $1.067 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
Highest grossing film of 2010.
I mean...
Fifth highest grossing film of all time.
I was going to bring it up like later on, but I will say that the Toy Story, now it is a quadrilogy, is one of the most critically acclaimed of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it is... like. Who cares about The Godfather? We've got Toy Story. Like, the first two on Rotten Tomatoes have 100% fresh. Like, everyone says one and two are, like, fantastic movies. Number three takes a slight dip to 98%. Mm. And then number four, 97. But, like, these are some of the greatest films you will ever watch, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's objective. That's fact.
Do you want to guess what the highest grossing films of all time are?
On Rotten Tomatoes?
No, on... Wikipedia.
Okay, so some of them don't count. I will say this, because some of them are like these random art house flicks that have 10 reviews. That doesn't count to me.
No. Highest grossing films, like the films that made grossing. The most money.
I'm on Rotten Tomatoes head. Are we adjusting for inflation?
I think so. Yeah.
One of them is Avatar.
Yeah, that's one number one.
One of them is Endgame. Avengers Endgame.
Number two.
One of them, I think, is coming up now, Spider-Man No Way Home.
That's number six.
Casablanca used to be one of them, adjusted for inflation.
It is not
there anymore.
I don't see it on this list.
Is it another Avengers? Is it competing with itself? Black Panther. Black Panther is one of them.
Yeah, Black Panther is number 13.
This is a fun game for me, but for no one else. Give me clues.
You do have Avengers Infinity War at number 5.
Okay, yeah.
Another, like, big
Star
multi...
Wars?
Yeah, there you go. Wow, we are so connected. Another movie...
Was it The Last Jedi, or was it...
The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, cool.
Okay, one that's another, like, really classic movie. Really long... should I tell you who's in it? That's going to give it away. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Titanic.
Yeah, classic. That's number three.
Classic.
Which is pretty cool.
You know, Titanic was so long that my mum used to have the VHS copy, and it came in onto two, like, it was VHSs.
Yeah.
Because it was so long. And, like, part of the reason why movies used to be really long, like, back in the day, because they had, like, two reels of film to work with. And then when they started releasing it on, like, VHS and home movies... A VHS could only hold a certain amount. And so movies went down to like a really, like a quick 90 because that like they were like 70 like to 90 minutes because like that was the easiest way to get it out to consumers after it was released.
Got it.
And now you see like a rising trend now that like we have DVDs, we have like pretty much infinite data that we can.
Right. But explain to me then why I had to have a box set of the Gilmore Girls season.
Because TV's completely different. This is movies.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, so like now you have movies that are like almost 3 hours long, which is insane.
It is like, insane. It's too long.
And that's the going trend because people like it's technologically, like, we're able to do that again.
Right. Also, it makes sense, I feel like, when you're releasing something on a streaming platform because somebody can pause it and walk away. Like, when you don't have to be sitting in a movie theater for 3 hours.
Yes, that too. Yeah. But then they still release it, like, 3-hour-long movies. Like, Zodiac is so long, and that's from 2007.
Yeah.
That's, like, almost 3 hours, I'm pretty sure.
Insane. Okay. Anyway, do you want me to tell you? You got the top six, and then it's Jurassic World, Lion King, Avengers, the original.
Oh, nice.
Furious 7.
Gross.
Frozen 2. Nice. Another Avengers, Age of Ultron. Nice. Black Panther. Nice. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Nice.
Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Nice.
That's number 15.
Yeah. Cool. No, I'm going to commit that list to memory and then impress everyone with it next time.
Yeah, definitely. That will be the way to make friends at parties. Okay. I haven't actually summarized the film yet.
Everyone knows what it's about. Everyone's seen it. It's about toys. Story about toys.
Well, and Andy's going to college. Yeah. And yeah, that's basically... Oh, and Woody, Buzz Lightyear, and the other toys are accidentally donated to a daycare center.
Yeah.
And the toys must decide where their loyalties lie.
Yeah.
Yes, Eli.
Eli, talk loud.
I have a fun aside. That aside is that the sounds from the preschool in Toy Story was recorded in the preschool that I went to.
That is really cute. Fun. That's a really fun aside.
Years after I was gone.
Nice. Aww. I really like that.
Jewish day, the Jewish preschool.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, I really like that fact. Thank you, Eli.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
What did you think watching the movie?
So I thought, because I'd already seen it, it wouldn't make me as emotional as the first time I saw it.
But it did.
So when it gets to them, and like, I know everyone knows this, don't worry. Everyone knows this. When they get to the furnace and they just stop struggling and they all start holding hands.
Stop.
When I tell you like the shuddering sobs, like I was like, like I was like absolutely like inconsolable. Like I was like I literally said like what the fuck out loud several times, like wiping away tears.
Yeah.
And then
it's really stressful.
It's so sad. The fact that Andy gets one more playtime with his toys get one more playtime
with Andy. Yeah.
Like when you see it happening.
Shoshana, are you kidding me?
Eli keeps texting me. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Put it on Do Not Disturb, bro. Put it on Do Not Disturb.
Oh my god.
Put it on Do Not Disturb.
Oh my god. Anyway. So like the fact that the toys get one last playtime with Andy just absolutely fucking wrecks me. And I was. And then when Andy says thanks, guys, to his toys as he drives away, I was gone. I was like beyond anything. The way that like we see adults' heads in this movie more than we've seen in the other movies. Like his mum's like a fully fledged character.
Right.
And then when it sort of cuts to Andy introducing the toys to Bonnie, I noticed that like all of a sudden Bonnie's mom's only seen from the waist up. And so it's like where we're going back to our own childhoods of like you can't see the parents' heads anymore. And then Andy's head cuts off for a second there and it's just Bonnie and the toys. And I was apoplectic. Like I was like, I cannot describe to you how much I cried.
Yarden also.
In this movie.
Not me. I didn't shed a tear.
I don't believe that for a second.
Actually, I didn't. Which is surprising because I feel like I am like...
And that's the thing. I've seen this movie before. I watched this movie for the first time on a plane. Thank God everyone else was asleep on the plane because I had the exact same reaction the first time. And I thought I would be over it because I've seen it like several times since. But no.
When I was watching Inventing Anna, when Vivian Kent gives birth, I
haven't
sobbing.
Seen it yet. I'm not up to there yet.
Oh. You recommended the show to me.
You cried in Inventing Anna and you didn't cry in Toy Story 3, you absolute monster.
Yeah, I know. That's freak. That's exactly what I'm telling you here. There's something wrong inside of me.
You're a homeschooled jungle freak.
I'll talk about it with my therapist.
But yeah, this movie, I have so many things to say about it. Not many Parsha-related things. I'm not going to lie to you.
I have some Parsha-related things to say.
I have a couple. I will say something that was genuinely terrifying that I forgot about was Mr. Potato Head as a tortilla.
It was really funny.
And the way he like flops around, I'm like, this is...
Oh, and then when he becomes a cucumber.
I was like, this is not fun for me. Like, especially I think the tortilla one. I was like, you are flopping too much, sir. I don't enjoy this.
Hmm. I think that baby toy, Big Baby, is really scary.
Why does Toy Story consistently make the most terrifying villains?
Really scary.
Lots of the bear is also terrifying. And then in the next movie, you've got like ventriloquist dolls.
I don't think I've seen Toy Story 4.
Bro, it's not as good. I'll be the first to say it. But like, if anything, first of all, the villains are terrifying. You've got like a doll with a voice box and she's an evil bitch.
Yeah.
And all of her minions are these like really terrifying ventriloquist dolls. And it's just really scary. And like the Big Baby and Lotso in this are like also terrifying.
They are really scary, yeah.
But what was I gonna say? My first Parisha thought. If anything, we should have compared this week's Parisha to Toy Story 4 in the sense that, like, we've literally just heard all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, last week.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3 came after, I don't know, like, what is it?
Almost 20, a break.
Right? Like, 10, almost, like, maybe, I think it was maybe 10 years later. Like, we had a solid break between. We were excited to see those characters again. And then I remember when Toy Story 4 was announced, we were kind of like, eh.
Right.
Like, we had this huge emotional goodbye. We said, like, all that. Right. And now we're seeing these, like, people, like, right away. And so maybe in terms of, like, that comparison, Toy Story 4 is more like this week's Parisha, where, like, we experienced all this stuff last week. We've been talking about this for ages. There's nothing new, exciting. Like, we haven't missed you guys.
Yeah.
As much as, like, we could.
Interesting. You're right. Because, like, and Toy Story 3 also, it's, like, obviously because Toy Story 3 did so well that they made the Toy Story 4, but like it just was like a really nice like ending, I thought, and like really sweet that like Andy goes to college and it was like all of us that were the same age as Andy. Like it was the year that we went to college. It was like,
right, you went to college in 2010.
Yeah, I graduated high school and went to college in 2010.
I was still in high school. You're old.
Yeah, but this movie was directed at me, Shoshana. These are my people.
Mine too. Were you a Buzz or a Woody kind of gal?
That's a good question. I was a Beanie Baby kind of gal.
Oh, I know. Like, I had my Woody doll that I still have on my shelf at home in my bedroom. Like, cute. Obsessed with him. And my brother and my cousin were Buzz Lightyear kids, and they got Buzz Lightyear toys, and I got a Woody toy.
I feel like my brother might have had a Buzz Lightyear. He was definitely a Buzz Lightyear kid.
One of my most horrifying stories of a childhood is that... I have no recollection of this. My mom loves telling the story that, like, I was obsessed with Toy... Toy Story came out in 1995. I was born in 1995. Like,
yeah.
We are one. We are connected spiritually.
Okay.
Emotionally. And I was, like, obsessed with it, obviously. And I'd go into the supermarket, and because it was part of the zeitgeist, everything was...
Oh, everything.
Everything was branded Toy Story. And I'd be yelling in the supermarkets or in the toy stores. I'd be like, I want a Woody. I want a Woody. Yeah. And
I feel like you've told that story on this podcast.
Yeah, probably. Because in hindsight, it is quite a scarring story to know that as a grown adult, that my mother was just there being like, fucking idiot kid. Like,
you're talking about dicks.
Yeah. Like, why would...
It's been a while since I've talked about dicks.
Me too. I try not to.
I meant on the podcast, but...
Oh, just in my... In my personal life as well, yeah.
Hmm. Okay, so like you said, the big comparison we're drawing is characters we already know. Yeah. We are, you know, Betzalel and Oholiab.
Yeah.
Oholiab. I just listened to, well, obviously, because Kitisa was last week, where they, like, introduce him for the first time. No, not Kitisa. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah, Kitisa, yeah.
Yeah, and we had like a whole conversation about how to pronounce
say his name. Yeah.
So I'm sorry, everyone who's hearing us do that a second time. Characters we know. I actually thought that at the beginning, when really reminded me of the Golden Calf in a way that I think we didn't get in our last comparison, because like it's Woody being like, Andy is our guy, like we're here for Andy, and like all the other toys are let's bounce, like who cares. I feel like there was like a really, like the way that Woody talks about Andy is like in some ways the way that people like tend to talk about like a god figure,
right? Yeah, I think I drew that connection as well of like, when we talk about the communal work necessary for the Mishkan, the toys have communal work. They have one very singular purpose. Whereas for the Jews, their singular purpose in this week's parasha is like finishing the, like donating funds for the Mishkan and then like having it being built. The toys, their singular purpose is like they want to make Andy happy in any way they can.
Yeah.
And I like, and that is the central, I guess, like the tension in the movie is that they want to also fulfill their purpose and they want to play with toys. Play with children. And so do they stay at the preschool? Do they go back to sit in the attic and do nothing and collect dust?
Yeah. I mean, I also think the idea that the Mishkan is God's Barbie dream house is like, and I actually think I would call Ken the artisan. He's the wise-hearted artisan. Oh, Hacham Lev for sure. By the end of the movie, not in the beginning, but he and Barbie really like grow together. Right. I think. Yeah.
I think also beautiful something romance. That I was, I think something I was thinking about is Moshe Barbie. If Ken is, no.
Ken is, no.
I see what you mean.
That's all out. So yeah. Barbie's
for a second, Ahalia. I was like, Ken is good. Yeah, that makes sense. No, I get it. I get it now.
Ken, yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like Ken's name should be longer. It feels really Kenneth. Weird to say. Just Ken.
Kenneth.
Kenneth. Also a weird name. White people are weird.
I was thinking something that also reminded me of the parsha from the movie. Like, we're coming off the back of... the golden calf,
mm-hmm.
and the this like fissure that forms between God and the people, and like this distrust that now lies between them, like this sin sort of hangs in the air, and that distance is very reminiscent of the toys and their distance from Andy. And it's not that like a sin occurs, it's just that like for some reason naturally over time there is this fissure between what Andy needs and what the toys need. And so if we compare toys to Bnei Yisrael, obviously there's like this, whatever you want to read into it theologically, but there is like this, clearly the people need something in that moment that they cannot wait to get from God.
Hmm.
So that's me reading too much into Toy Story.
Yeah. Well, I think that's interesting. I mean, you could also like draw out that comparison to like post Israel like temple or post like coming into the land and like the building of the temple and all of that, that like God gets more and more distant, right?
Yeah.
I think the same way of like if you have a new toy you like play with it a lot,
yeah,
and then like the distance grows between. Right.
And I think if you want to take the metaphor slightly differently, you've got this idea of the owner is God, so Andy is God,
mm-hmm.
The toys are the people, play is worship. And these new preschoolers are other gods. And so the toys sort of dabble, if we're going back a couple of parashas, like whatever, yeah. They dabble in the worship of other gods, i.e. they know what it is to play with other children.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They know good gods from not good gods.
Yeah.
I did love the little joke of... when Andy goes to Bonnie's house for the first time and the other toys are like, I want to stay in character, or they're like, we do a lot of improv work here, and then they're like, you're so good, have you done this before? Like, I just love the idea that those toys are like, we're doing improv work.
My favorite joke from that is when he's like, I need to get out of here. The unicorn's like, there is no way out, and he's like, oh my god. He's like, no, the door's just right there. I'm like, there is no way out. I think it's crazy that I'm pretty sure Toy Story, like the first one, made in 95, is the first like full-length feature film that is a CGI film.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, like in your head, probably if you're thinking of Toy Story, you think it's of a similar caliber quality to Toy Story 3. It's not. Toy Story 1 is janky. Toy Story 2 is also janky. And then you get to this one and it's like... It's crazy how much technology has completely shifted in 15 years.
That's exactly the conversation we had when we rewatched Shrek. I was like, it just looks weird. Yeah, and at the time you were like, this looks great. And now you're like, why? There's something wrong about it.
Yeah. It's like, I wouldn't say it's Uncanny Valley because, like, it's not that, like, lifelikeness. It's just that right. It's janky. Like, it looks off.
It looks like an old video game.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just crazy, like, how, like, really how far technology has come in such a very short amount of time.
Wow.
This movie is just, it's a lot. Toy Story is so emotionally tense.
I like this note you have here that says Buzz equals short king.
He is a short king, and he gets the girl, him and Jessie.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, were Jessie and Woody not together?
No.
I actually think they're, like, a nice little, like, a throuple.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I never thought of it. I've never seen Buzz and Woody as being romantically linked. I see them more of, like, a Moshe Aaron dynamic rather than a Moshe and male lover dynamic. but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did. I found that romance a little jarring, to be honest, because I always thought it was like Woody and Jessie are supposed to be together.
It was like, it was a bit shoehorned in, I'll say. Like, it didn't feel natural.
Right.
I think Spanish Buzz is hilarious.
Yeah, that was,
like,
good.
A real highlight. Here's what confuses me. If you're a parent listening to this for whatever reason, neglecting your child, et cetera, et cetera.
Because that could be the only two options, yeah.
No, like, what happens? I don't remember. I was a kid, like, when I was a kid and subtitles would come up on the screen and I couldn't read yet. Like, what do you just read the subtitles to your kids? Because Buzz speaks in Spanish and there are, like, full-on subtitles on the screen for, like, a lot of his time after that.
But they're in Spanish, aren't they?
No, the subtitles are in English telling you what's happening.
Oh.
But, like, how annoying would it be? Like, if I was in a kid's movie with kids and I had to, like, lean over and tell them what the screen said, like, shut up. Learn how to read, you little freak.
Here's what I think. You should never have children, is what I think. Number two, I think, like, a lot of a movie goes over kids' heads. Like, I think it's probably, like, they're like, Buzz is speaking Spanish now. And maybe they've watched enough Dora the Explorer that they understand.
They just understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, kids in language, they're like little sponges.
Yeah.
So maybe they learned Spanish from Spanish-speaking Buzz. But I think probably the reality is, like, have you ever watched a movie with a child and they're asking you questions where you're like, that's literally not even relevant. Like, where are you?
Well, they're just, like, I'm pretty sure I've definitely told this story before, but my family friend and I were watching Princess Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a line in Princess Diaries of, like, there's no talking in the back of a hearse.
Mm.
And basically she just, like, did not get it after I laughed out loud. And I was like, do you know what a hearse is? And she's like, no. And I was like, it's the car that takes a person to their funeral. And then she's like, oh, okay. And then she goes, what's a funeral? And I was like, oh boy.
That's how my aunt reacted when I told her that I'm teaching Shmuel Bet. She was like, oh, there's some spicy stuff in there. Yeah. And then I guess my cousin had just been learning it. And she's like, what do you think is the most interesting part? And he was like, none of it.
That's really funny.
Mm.
Yeah, I have one thing that I take issue with in this film.
Okay.
Well, granted, it was 2010. It was a solid 10 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag allyship wasn't where it is now.
Yeah.
But the treatment of Ken as an effeminate man in this film and just, like, the very subtle gay jokes, I feel like, are a bit much.
Interesting.
Like, it's basically gay jokes without saying that it's gay jokes because it's a children's film.
I didn't like what jokes were there. I feel like I didn't. Like, they make fun of him for, like, wearing different outfits and.
Right. And I think, like.
At one point, he's like, what's up with the scarf? And he's like, it's an ascot.
Right. So I feel like a lot of his jokes center around the fact that he is just an effeminate man. And I think that is coded as. And I think Ken has always been slightly coded as gay.
Yeah.
Right. And so just because it's not like. Like, he's queerly coded, we can say. One could argue that he is queerly coded,
sure.
And so the jokes aimed at his effeminateness, which is part of his queer coding,
right.
Is therefore, like, jokes making fun of him being gay. That's my theory.
I just, like, didn't feel that while I was watching it. I don't know if I just wasn't watching closely enough, but usually I am. The one that I didn't like was when they're, like, playing their little poker game and they, like, make a comment to him about Barbie and he, like, gets, like, defensive about it.
Right. Because they call him a girl's toy or something.
Oh, they do call him a girl's toy.
Also, Barbie has like the most killer line, which I literally tweeted about, where she goes, Jesse's right. Authority should derive from the consent of the governed, not from the threat of force. And I was like, okay, Barbie.
Yeah.
Okay, damn, Barbie. Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
I also was like, hell yeah.
A wonderful little line there that teaches children about ideal democracy.
I also liked the scene, this is like not related to that, but where it's like Ken, like Barbie is pretending to be Ken and she's wearing his clothes and then she walks away and the bookworm's like, because he's wearing heels and he's just like, meh.
Yeah.
And like, but I was like, that's funny because she literally couldn't wear his shoes because of the way her feet are formed.
Yeah. Sorry, I just thought of a really good pop culture moment. I had to write it down for next time.
Okay. Wow. I'm on the edge of my seat. Are you going to do it when we record our next episode?
Maybe. Oh, I forgot we're recording one like very soon.
Yeah.
How long have we been recording for now?
42 minutes.
Oh.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
On the shorter side. Unlike us.
It is unlike us. Oh. I just have to say that on All Hatora, you know how they have their like popular Parshat whatever pages. This one is just Purpose of the Mishkan. It's like from previous Parshia.
Yeah.
So even All Hatora doesn't have anything original to say.
Yeah, because it's a little, you know why? It's if this weren't a gap year, if this weren't a leap year, like it would be a double parsha. It's Vayakol Pekudei are usually put together, and there's reason for that.
Interesting.
Because this week's parsha is boring.
It is boring.
I will say the last thing. I forgot how much I like Ham and Mr. Potato Head. I think they're really, really funny characters. Yeah. Like,
And Slinky.
No, so I think, because what I was thinking is that Ham and Mr. Potato Head are sort of like, because I was watching Atlantis, The Last Empire recently.
Mm.
And so like there's a couple characters in that who are just like very deadpan delivery, like the dynamite guy. And so like they're the equivalent of that in this movie.
Yeah.
Who's like, especially Ham, who like just delivers like really deadpan like jokes that are clearly aimed for parents. But Mr. Potato Head, he's like, did I tell you kids to stay out of my butt?
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's just funny. It cracks me up.
I do think there was some character development on the part of Mr. Potato Head because he accepted the aliens as his children. He did,
bro. Oh, thank God for the aliens.
Yeah.
They saved the day. They always save the day. That was really good.
Yeah.
Good job.
It's weird. I mean, obviously, this whole Mishkan thing is pretty important to God, or God wouldn't have put it in twice.
It's the dream house.
So nice we learned about it twice. Yeah.
It's a dream house.
Bro. God's Barbie dream house. Mm. If you were going to add a feature to the Mishkan, a la like the add-ons of the Barbie dream house.
Hot tub.
A hot tub.
Yeah, 100% hot tub.
Don't you think they already have a mikveh?
Do they?
Don't they? How do they do the mikveh? Don't they have to do a mikveh?
They've got a... They don't have like a built-in mikveh.
Well, it's not built-in.
They've got the basin, like where they can wash their hands and feet.
Okay. But they don't have to do like a full immersion.
There's probably one around town that they can go to.
They're traveling in the desert, so
yeah. Miriam's well.
You
asked me what I was going to add. I'm adding a hot tub.
Okay.
Jeez. Does a mikveh have bubbles? Does a mikveh have a heat setting? Does it have
actually, usually they're heated.
Bubbling jet?
No, there's usually not a bubbling jet.
Okay, well, I say hot tub. What are you going to add, huh?
Do you know? Wait, can I tell you a fact about a mikveh?
Yeah, sure.
One in Southern California, the like running water source they have is a block of ice.
Nice.
And they just like, whenever they have to, they like replace the block of ice. And then you get in because the tub is heated.
Yeah.
And then you like uncork the thing so that the water, right? Because once the water's kissed, then it's kosher. That is literally the word they use. What would I add?
Yeah. What Barbie Dreamhouse aesthetic?
I thought the elevator was pretty cool.
But it's a one-story building.
Okay, we're at a second elevator. Story. What about the slanted table thing? How are you getting to the top of that?
A ramp. Everything has steps.
But what if
the menorah has steps, the incense has steps.
Wait.
Actually, the altar has a ramp too.
We just read, after they talk about the Kohanim, there's... Why are you making that face at me? There's in... In Shmoat, it must have been Kitisa. They talk about when they build like two types of altars. So you can build like an earth altar, but you can't make an altar of hewn stone, and you can't have stairs because if you're walking up the stairs in your robes, you can't. Serious. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
That's why they have the little shorts.
And they've also got the midrash of the Shamir worm. Is it a midrash?
And you made fun of me for talking about freeballing, but like literally God is concerned about it too.
Why did you have to bring up freeballing again?
Because it was relevant.
Okay, here are the things in the dream house that you can... I'm going to read the product details.
Okay.
And you have to tell me what you're going to add.
Okay.
When young imaginations move into the Barbie dream house, they turn this amazing dollhouse into a dream home.
Remember when we were like, 42 minutes, that's respectable. And now we're going to talk about the Barbie dream house for
more than
3
feet tall and 4 feet wide, the Barbie, and that's got a little R circled, dream house TM, has so many amazing features. 3 stories, 8 rooms that include a carport, but the car's not included, a home office, a working elevator that fits 4 dolls or a Barbie doll in a wheelchair, a pool that has a slide descending from the story above, 5 pieces of transforming furniture, lights, sounds, and more than 60 additional accessories, including an adorable puppy that can be used to decorate, set the scene, and play out so many stories.
That's the only thing that, of the 60 accessories that they list, is the puppy.
Plug and play design helps keep pieces in place as small hands move around and make cleanup easy for adult hands.
We have a plug and play design.
Exactly. Decorations and furniture for indoor and outdoor settings inspire play from all angles, and the transformations provide 2-in-1 fun while encouraging flexible action. The couch turns into bunk beds. The coffee table flips for a bed-sized... for a Chelsea doll sold separately. The fireplace also becomes a home office. The refrigerator turns into an outdoor food stand, and the oven houses a barbecue in back. Lights and sounds add even more delightful touches. The oven lights up, the timer ticks, the stovetop sizzles with the frying pan and whistles with the tea kettle, and the toilet makes a flushing sound. Ooh, that's, you should add a flushing toilet and like indoor plumbing.
That is so offensive.
Young decorators will all have so much fun moving accessories around the house as they explore their personal style and tell all kinds of stories. Why am I still reading this?
Because you actually haven't said anything I can add to the Barbie dream
house. I have
said
so much.
Okay, there's already a grill. There's already a grill. They don't
need
another
one. A full kitchen, a refrigerator.
A refrigerator. God preserves the...
Bunk beds, a couch.
Again.
A dog, like a puppy. Indoor plumbing, pool.
Here's what I would add:
backyard barbecue.
There's already a barbecue. That's what
you
I'm
could
saying.
You could buy her that like a car for her carport.
That's what I was gonna say. You took my thing. Yeah, I'm getting the Barbie Corvette, and then I'm gonna put the Mishkan on top of the Corvette, and then it's gonna use all those light and sound things. You know, like the you know how they do for Adar, where they have the cars that drive around and play the song.
So I'm not gonna.
That's
lie
something
to you.
Fun about
I
living in Israel.
I had like a lot of.
It's like religious people drive around in these annoying cars that like sing like Misha, 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 Misha.
So
Misha,
I had a lot of Barbie stuff. It turns out that I didn't realize until right now. But like growing up, I think it's because my mom just really like wanted me to play with Barbies.
So she just kept buying you stuff for them.
So I had like a blue. I don't think it was the Corvette, but like a blue. Convertible 4-seater car for Barbie. Mm-hmm. I also had the Barbie VW.
Cool.
And so my Barbie drove around in absolute luxury.
Wow.
But my cousin had the Barbie camper, and that was always so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then I had a bunch of Polly Pocket stuff. I had the Polly Pocket like airplane. That was really cool.
That's cool. Yeah. I love Polly Pocket. I don't know why my parents like, because I love dollhouses. Like as an adult, I could spend hours playing with a dollhouse.
I used to have a dollhouse.
I think that that is something that's like a future hobby of mine, is making miniatures.
Nice. Yeah, I think I love all those TikToks.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with it. Okay, we should wrap this up because now you just read an ad for Barbies.
Honestly, worth it.
Worth it.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. I don't think anyone ever does that.
No, no one does.
Okay, we love you.
Bye.